This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon. State Representative Virgil Osborne in today. Thanks for coming over.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
So, why don't I run through a number of things, I guess, right off the bat. Your take on the governor's race, another entrant or two this week. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's been an interesting ride, and I think it's going to get even more interesting depending on who else joins into the race. I think I heard today there were 17 people running for governor between Democrats and Republicans. Representative Ed Deal just joined the race, and Ed and I have worked together really closely for the last 3 years on legislation in the House, and he is definitely a leader, and he is well known, and he also was the kind of the instigator and the power behind the petition to recall the transportation tax. So he's definitely got the wind at his back. I don't really know much about the any of the other recent new folks that have joined up, but I've also heard rumors of Dudley possibly throwing his name in too. So I'm just kind of sitting it out and waiting to see who all shows up.
Yeah, like you said, 17 people running, 12 in the GOP so far, and of course most all of those folks are not particularly known. We had Ed Deal on with us this morning at 8:30 talking about the race. One of the aspects of the governor's race in Oregon, last time we had between the Democrats and Republicans and independent, I think we were at 36, 38 candidates for governor. And a lot of people just look at that and shake their head. But one of the things that happens there is it seems like, especially for the Republicans who are trying to gain power, that when you have so many people running, it really kind of dilutes things in terms of momentum.
It certainly can, and of course that's why we have primaries. I mean, the folks will float to the top that are going to get the votes, and then one person moves on, carries on forward. But you know, I think it really makes a statement about our governor, the fact that we have so many people running. I mean, people are clearly not happy with the direction of the state, and understandably so. Neither am I. And I think that it clearly shows that people want change, and I think we're gonna get change. I feel pretty good about it this time around.
Now, Chris Dudley rumored to be looking at the race, but I understand as well, I don't know if it's an official move or just people talking to him, but some indication that some folks are trying to steer him over to the U.S. Senate race.
Yeah, I've heard lots of rumors both directions. You know, I got to tell you, Ed Deal, Representative Ed Deal, is going to be hard to beat. I mean, the guy just kind of gets it, and he understands politics, and he's, you know, he's not radically right or radically left. And again, he's a very good friend of mine. So, I mean, I'm not coming out and endorsing anybody yet, but I would say that if I was running in a race against Ed Deal, you better bring your A game because he's going to be tough.
Now, for the average person outside of the political realm, the average voter, though, is he that well known?
Well, I think that he's well known in some of the urban areas, and I think that because he helped lead the petition to recall the transportation tax, I think, you know, that was 250,000 signatures that they got. And the reality of it was a heck of a lot more than 250,000 signatures. They turned in 250,000. It was closer to 300,000. So, yeah, I mean, the name, he definitely has the wind at his back, and he's got some really, really good support from some folks. So, you know, he had over 540 people, I think it was, at his event when he did the kickoff on Wednesday.
Well, let's talk about part of what brought his entrance on and the whole issue of the funding referendum in May. It looks like now the Democrats would like to move that from the November election to the May election. And both the House Speaker, the Senate President say they want to do that. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think we should be really clear on this. And I'll just tell you exactly what's going on. Right now, the governor is in a little bit of a panic mode because she does not want such an unpopular bill on the ballot while her name's on there. And not just her. Every single Democrat in the House and in the Senate voted yes on that bill, which means they chose to ignore what 94 to 95% of the people in Oregon wanted to do, and they went ahead and did it anyway. They did not think that there was any possibility that we could draw the number of signatures to get this thing on the ballot. And I know that for a fact because I happen to know what the governor said. So, and then we did. So Now they're going, well, wait a second. They repealed this, saying we have to go and we don't want this thing on a November ballot because it's going to cost them some seats, as it should. They're hoping that if they move it to May, they'll get the vote out of the way. It's going to, obviously, it's the, you know, it, the vote's going to fail. Nobody wants a tax. And then they'll just carry on about their business, and they'll come up with something even worse, and we can talk about that in a minute.
So would it, though, if this vote happens in May, aside from the political part of the Democrats, doesn't this kind of get this resolved a little sooner?
Well, it's not about that. So there's an injunction on it anyway. They are not going to raise the tax. They can't do anything about it from here until November. So what it does is it just hides the problem, and that's what they want to do. They want to push it under the rug. And, you know, people, honestly, politics is complicated, and a lot of folks say, well, you know, hey, this gets it out of the way. We you know, this is done. The reality of it is it doesn't. It just gives them an open channel to go ahead and make another bad decision.
So what do you do with ODOT funding?
Well, as you've probably heard, the governor said, oh, now my job is to, I have to work with bipartisan support and come up with a better plan. She has also said, I just heard it today, actually on a social media feed from the news, that she's working with Republicans and trying to come up with an idea that actually restores the funding and takes care of things. That's absolutely false. She is not working with Republicans. We do not have bipartisan support, and we are not in the conversation at this point. What's happening right now, they are trying to figure out a way to subtly tax you so that they can come back and fund the 300 and some odd million dollar hole that they have in their budget.
So where do you see this going and its impact on the short session?
Well, I think that transportation is going to be the center of the short session. The only body in government that can change the date on a bill going to the ballot is going to be the legislature. So she's pushing really hard on the legislature. Also, she denies that she's doing that, but she is doing that. And, you know, I speak to those guys every day. So they are going to, we're going to fight that out. We don't want that change. We want it to come in November. We're going to argue about it. We're going to fight it out and see where it goes.
So if all that is going on, what about, I mean, you only have 35 days, right?
Yeah, it's a 35-day session.
So if this takes up a lot of space, if you will, what about all the other things that need to get done?
Well, that will be up to the majority party. They set the pace. So generally what happens is they come up with some really bad ideas, and then they come to us and we say, we don't like your bad ideas. And they're going to say, well, what do we have to do to change that so we can get what we want? And it's a leverage thing. It's politics. It's a game. That's how it's played. And unfortunately, the folks that are in the minority party don't get to play at the same level that the folks that are in the majority party do. So I know there's a lot of things coming up. I heard just this week there's another gun bill that's in the works, which I hate. There is also a sales tax approach that they're trying to do to take care of this budget shortfall. So, you know, these are things that are coming, and people need to pay attention. I mean, I don't want to pay a sales tax. That's the camel getting its nose under the tent. The next thing we have, you know, instead of having a 1% or 2% sales tax, we have countywide sales tax. And then all of a sudden we're paying 10% for products like they do in California, and we still have a budget deficit because there's no accountability. So we have issues that need to be dealt with, and it's going to be a pretty fiery session.
And when does it begin?
February 2nd.
So now that's a ways off. Let's see.
About a week.
Week and a half or so.
Yeah.
But you were already up there today.
I was, yeah. And I was there last week, too. We had a kind of a caucus gathering meeting. I'm in leadership, so we have leadership meetings pretty regularly. So I'm in Salem quite a bit. And, you know, we're talking about strategy, talking about, you know, of course, we're going to be losing Representative Deal off our leadership team because he's going to be going, you know, he's running for governor. So, you know, we have to make up some ground there as well. He will still be a representative. But we're kind of strategizing all that right now.
And I asked him about that this morning because that's definitely a gamble because you can't run for your seat and run for governor.
There's some questions, yes. I don't know how that's all going to play out yet.
All right, State Representative Virgil Osborne Moore. When we come back, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. In Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. More programs. We're putting them together for next week on Inside Douglas County. And State Representative Virgil Osborne in here now talking all things Oregon State Legislature. Now, you mentioned being up in Salem for a leadership meeting. Talk about what you do in leadership for the GOP.
Sure. So in the House, we have on a GOP side, we have our Republican Party leader, and then we have our deputy leader, and then we have the whip. And then we also have a leadership team that is so those three positions are actually elected. So you don't just get to be on leadership. Your caucus has to elect you into that. Then we have a handful of folks that are considered part of our leadership. They're kind of like assistant leaders. And so we get together often to kind of talk about strategy moving forward, how, you know, things we do right, do wrong, what we need to change, and then we set the pace on which way the caucus goes moving into the future. I'm the whip of the party, so my job is to kind of run the meetings and also to kind of count votes, frankly. When I'm on the House floor, I'm the guy that makes sure that we're all voting correctly and right, and it's like herding cats.
Is it a little bit like being a bouncer?
It's a lot like being a bouncer. Yeah, actually, it is. Go figure why they elected me to do that. I don't know.
And it seems like Southern Oregon has got more representation and leadership right now than in a lot of past years.
Yeah, Douglas County has, there's two out of the three of us are from Alex Scarlatos. Representative Alex Scarlatos is our deputy leader. And then on the Senate side, the deputy leader for the minority party over there is Senator David Brock Smith. So, yeah, there's no doubt the voice of Douglas County gets heard on a daily basis in Salem. And I'm proud to be part of that.
And, I mean, that's kind of a rarity. If you think back over a number of years, of course, we had back about 10 years ago, maybe 14 years ago, I think it was 2011, Bruce Hanna was co-speaker, yep. So we had that period of time. But a lot of times, the county really hasn't had folks in those roles.
And it makes a difference. You know, you look at some of the things that some of the changes that we've done in politics. I mean, for instance, even last year, we were able to push through Senate Bill 3921, House Bill 3921, to do the urban growth boundary change. People listened, and we actually got bipartisan support on that. And a lot of that had to do with how we handle ourselves and, you know, the directions we do. And it made a huge difference for Roseburg. I mean, there's just a lot of things that Roseburg and Douglas County is not forgotten. That I make sure of every single day.
And, you know, that urban growth boundary thing goes back so many decades.
Yep.
that was looked upon. A lot of folks back in the 90s thought it was going to happen then, after I had just moved back here for a few years. And people were starting to strategize, and then it just didn't happen.
We got it done. I had one phone call, and we put the bill in. I met with, actually had some discussion with the governor on it as well, and it just, we got it done. We had amazing support from Douglas County, and not just the commissioners, but as well as some of the Roseburg city manager, and some of the other folks. And that's what we have to have. I mean, it's always a team sport. I mean, you know, you elect your representative, but your representative is only as good as the people that are supporting him and the people around him that are helping him with things. I mean, we do some of the same stuff with our police department, with our sheriff's department. We've passed some really amazing bills, search and rescue bills, other bills like that. And it's because we have a strong sheriff, an undersheriff. The undersheriff, Brad O'Dell, has come up to Salem a few times to testify, as well as John Hanlon, our sheriff. So it's amazing. We have a great team here.
Talk about the legislation that you're going to put up. I think you only get, what, two bills in the short session?
Yeah, so we do. Each legislator gets two, and then, of course, there's committee bills, too, that add to that mix. But I had a couple of different bills. One of my bills was a K-truck bill, and it's kind of a weird thing, but the K-trucks are those small, downsized trucks that you see at some municipalities use them for, you know, run around streets cleaning up stuff, and some airports use them for hauling stuff around. They're not street legal in Oregon. And it's actually a good solution for a lot of farmers and ranchers use them. And it's a mid-sized, very efficient fuel mileage vehicle that could be used. And it will do the speed limit. It has turn signals and everything else. Some states have recognized them. So we're pushing a bill right now. I say we. I'm pushing a bill. But it's got broad bipartisan support. Senator Broadman, actually over on from Central Oregon, is supporting it as well. So we've got almost all of the Democrats and Republicans signed on. I think we're going to get a hearing for it. I believe you will be able to drive your K-truck on the street in Oregon within a year.
I think when we talked about that the first time, I wasn't really familiar with those. Went and looked it up later, realized, well, I had seen them like at a golf course or places like that. And kind of a different model. And it doesn't seem like originally maybe they were, at least for the U.S., meant to go on the road, but obviously that application's got a lot of interest.
Yeah, and other countries actually use them on the road. It just makes sense. It's a good solution. It's similar in size to a side-by-side, actually a lot less power than a side-by-side, but the ability to go the speed limit. And it has all the, you know, turn signals and everything else. So that's one of those bills. It's just kind of a common sense bill. Another bill that I'm working on right now, and we actually just kind of got, it will be going to committee, is a corner crossing bill. And that is an interesting bill because right now, if you're in Oregon, and there's some BLM, and then there's some private property, and then BLM, and they kind of come to a corner. You can't go legally from the BLM to the BLM property because you're technically stepping over private property. So some states, Montana actually was the last one, adopted legislation that allows you to cross that corner and not be breaking the law. So we're running that bill. Myself and Senator Broadman and a few others are on it, and actually Senator McClain. So it's got bipartisan support as well. So hopefully we can get a hearing on that and make it easier for people hunting in Oregon to be able to not break the law and not feel bad that they did. Also relieves the liability from the landowner.
Don, do landowners have any issue with that?
I haven't heard any pushback on that to speak of, but I'm sure that when we get to committee, there will be some folks that are, you know, just hearing about it. You know, the Oregon Hunters Association, of course, is behind it. I think most people that have interest in, the outdoors should be behind it. So we'll see. And, you know, it really affects the ONC lands because they're checkerboarded so bad. So we'll see how that goes.
Now, you were at the, speaking of lands, you were at the Douglas Timber Operators meeting yesterday, right?
I was, yeah. It was a great meeting. I try to make it to that when I can, when I'm in town. And all three commissioners were there, and Commissioner Freeman spoke of the new bill that he was able to get passed that brought back the timber receipts payments, which is great for our community. I mean, it literally, he and I spoke about it a week or so ago, and I mean, it literally could make the difference between having a sheriff's department or laying off a bunch of deputies. So this is just some amazing stuff. Now, we still need to log. You know, you can't, nothing from 75% of zero is still zero. So we still need to get out in the woods, and we still need to log. And I think the Trump administration is opening that door. So now we're back to where we'll actually receive payments again. And I think the county's going to prosper from that. Thank God the Commissioner Freeman worked on it.
Any other meetings of interest lately?
Just lots of strategizing, lots of we get together as caucus and strategize about what we're going to do moving into the session. But the session starts, so at this point, other than vice chair meetings, I do vice chair some of the committees. So other than that, not really.
So the short session is 35 days, but you kind of get your foot in the building for an early start with some meetings and things, right?
Yeah, we'll go right into committee meetings. We'll have public hearings for the first, probably the first 3 weeks. And we have committee hearings day one. And I understand this morning I got the schedule. We will actually have floor session, I think, at 8:30 on Monday. So.
And what's the pace of the short session usually?
About 10 times faster than the long session. If you snooze, you lose. I mean, it literally will go, very rapidly. The hearings will go fast. Things will go to the House floor. Things will get voted on. You have to really be on top of your game and stay in the game and pay attention to what's happening, because bad things happen when it's done in a hurry. And frankly, the whole intent of ever having a short session was to do budget adjustments. It was never meant to run bills, but that is exactly what the majority party does. We will have a lot of really bad bills, the majority of which are going to be focused on somehow, you know, getting around the Trump administration's and the federal government's rulings.
So wrapping up here inside Douglas County in a moment, do you ever look back and go, gosh, what did I get into?
No, actually, Kyle, so there are days when I have to look back and kind of smile, but I love what I do. Being able to represent this county, I mean, I feel like I get paid to do something I do for free. I love what I do, and politics comes with people that hate you, people that love you, people that don't like you, whatever the case may be. I do what's right for the people. I'm not here for myself. I'm here for the folks in Douglas County.
State Representative Virgil Osborne, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.